for the past 2 weeks, we've been learning different things about prayer, greater things, right? But I assume among all of us, it's very likely that it is not the first time you were taught about prayer, correct? And honestly, no one needs a theology degree to start praying, you know, no matter how old or how young you are, right? When we were at school, or when you are still in school, you pray, we pray to God before every exam, correct? When we start working in a workplace, we pray to God before every job interview. I'm sure you do that too. And for parents, before your child was born, all parents probably will pray hard in the delivery room to pray that everything goes well, right? And perhaps one of the most common prayer in any busy shopping mall in North America, in Canada, in the States, would be, Lord, give me a parking space. But most of the time, I don't know if you drive, most of the time, this kind of prayer or parking lot prayer does not work. So someone, it's not me, someone has created this billboard. Stop praying. God's too busy to find you a parking spot. I think this is pretty true, right? I think this is some insight. And I think it's a real thing. You can Google that and see. I think it's probably in New York or somewhere people create that. It's a real thing. So perhaps it is our experience too. You have tried hard and very hard to praying, but nothing seems to happen. When you pray, you only feel dryness. When you pray, you only feel boredom. Your prayer is like an endless shopping list or grocery list. Prayer seems to be mundane, monotonous, and repetitive. But there's a but here. But when we compare our own prayer to some of the prayers in the Bible, we notice there's a big gap. If we recall one of the Jesus teaching in Matthew 17, Jesus said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, which is very small, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. Actually, we just sang a song which is kind of inspired by this verse. And it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. In this verse, Jesus was teaching, prayer does not need to be boring. And no matter how small our faith is, our prayer can be bold. Bold enough to move mountains. Bold enough to say to this mountain, move from here to there. So you wonder why. How come my own prayer doesn't look like what Jesus described? Boring prayer versus bold prayer here. How come my prayer can move mountains, not even able to find me a parking lot? And when you flip through the Bible, you will find that bold prayer actually do exist in many different places. Just give you two examples. In Genesis, Abraham prayed boldly. He was pleading for the righteous people in Sodom, that city, to be spared. And God agreed to spare the city if he could find 10 righteous people. So that is one example. In Exodus, Moses also prayed boldly. After the Israelites sinned against God, Moses prayed for the sinful Israelites. Before an angry God, Moses was appealing for God's mercy on behalf of God's people. So when we compare to our own prayer to the prayer in the Bible, you wonder why. Why there is there such a big gap between our own, the boring and the dry prayer, and those prayer in the Bible, which are bold, which are moving mountain prayer. So that's the big difference. And as you're pondering this topic, perhaps you will have another question comes up. You might wonder, some prayer, more appealing to God than others. So, church, what do you think? Do you think some prayers are more appealing to God than others? Do you think some prayers are more pleasing to God than the others. Let's check out if Jesus give us any hint about this question. In Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." It seems like Jesus is hinting us that in order to have your prayer answer, there's one condition. Our life needs to be aligned with God. When we abide in him, Jesus said, ask, see the word here, whatever you wish, and it will be done for you, right? Ask whatever we wish, and it will be done for you. To reinforce this, let's check out another verse. 1 John chapter 5, in verse 14. A very similar one, but just want to give you another perspective. If we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. So when we want our prayers to be answered, first, our life needs to be aligned with God. John 15, abide in God, right? And when we want our life to be, our prayer to be answered, the second truth here we just learned is that we need to pray to God according to his will. Pray according to God's will. But just be careful. This verse, the Bible does not say that if we ask anything, he will hear us. So make sure that you pay attention. If we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. According to his will. I even highlight that. So make sure that you don't miss that little phrase as well. Okay, good. Seems like we are going somewhere. Okay, we learned a little bit about prayer tonight. But besides finding out if some prayers are more appealing to than the others, perhaps you have one more question. Since we are not God, right? We are just human. How would I know? How would we know if what we are praying is according to God's will, right? Okay, we know that, okay, yeah, we need to pray according to God's will, but how? How we can do that? Instead of praying according to my own ideas, how would I know if I'm praying according to God's will? Talking about the will of God, I'm sure you might heard about this topic a lot as well. Usually, we often feel that God's will is so difficult to understand, right? Or sometimes even hidden. You know, you never know God's will. And if finding God's will is not easy, praying according to God's will is almost impossible. But actually, the good news is, if we take a closer look at the Bible, to our surprise, the God in the Bible does not play games with human. Thank God. God never make it difficult or impossible for us to understand his will. The entire Bible tells us one thing. God is here and he is not silent. God is here and he is not silent. God is willing to communicate his plan and his desire to his people in many ways, in many different ways, in many creative ways as well. Through the Bible, actually, God communicates a lot to us. Number one, God reveals his character about who he is. God reveals his character. Number two, God also reveals his promises about him as well. And number three, God also reveals about his work and deeds through the Bible as well. So therefore, when we pray according to his characters, his promises, and his work and deed, we are given the vocabulary to pray. We are given the vocabulary to pray according to his will. So there is a key here. So when we want to pray according to his will, those are the channel, those are the way. We have this vocabulary to pray according to his will. And in the Bible, there are many examples I can quote about praying according to God's will, according to God's characters, according to God's promises. But tonight, I want to highlight one prayer which is recorded in much details. It's from Daniel the prophet in Daniel chapter 9. Before the prayer, let me do a 30-second recap, just in case you're not sure. Who was Daniel, right? Daniel was a noble Jewish youth. He was born and raised in Jerusalem. Unfortunately, when Judah was attacked by Babylon, Daniel was taken into captivity. Daniel was exiled in a foreign land where people worship a very totally different god. And remember the beginning of the book of Daniel. You might have heard about that. The king assigned Daniel and his friends some food and wine, which was related with idol worship. But Daniel and his friends resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's delicacy and stand firm in his faith. Okay, this is a quick recap. Let's go straight to Daniel chapter 9 about the prayer. In the first year of Darius, I, Daniel, perceive in the books of the numbers of years that according to the words of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the ends of desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Well, just highlighted this as like at the beginning of the prayer. There was like a little background here. It was a time of political transition. A new king came. It's called Darius. He became a new king. And at that moment, Daniel was reading God's message through the prophet Jeremiah. It was a few generations before already. But Jeremiah wrote something. And then Daniel was reading. And then you were thinking, now what was the actual thing that he was reading? So let's take a look at Jeremiah, actually, chapter 25. Some of the content that also is the first hand from Jeremiah. Because you have not obeyed my words, Jeremiah said, behold, Jeremiah wrote actually, behold, I will send for all the tribes of the north and for Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and I will bring them against this land. The whole land shall become a ruin and a waste. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. This is the kind of the prediction that Daniel was reading. So after receiving God's message, Daniel turned to the Lord. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. Then Daniel said, then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Seems to be a very serious moment, right? Before we dig into this prayer in chapter 9, let's jump to the end. I usually don't do that, but tonight I will. Let's jump to the end of the prayer and take a sneak preview about what happened after the prayer. At the end of the chapter 9 of Daniel, in verse 21, Daniel said, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. Then the angel said, oh Daniel, I have come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Based on what we have just read, we notice that Daniel's prayer did receive a very positive response from God. And not just a positive response, but also a quick, a fast response as well, since angel Gabriel flew over to Daniel very quickly. So, in what way did Daniel pray that trigger such a positive response from God? I think I want to know too. Wow, this is good. You know, when Daniel prayed, you know, something happened right away. So as we unpack Daniel's prayer, we'll learn that Daniel 9 is indeed a great example for us to learn about praying. about praying according to God's will, which is our kind of the focus for tonight. So let me highlight four things or four main reasons why his prayer is something that we can learn from. Number one, Daniel's prayer is anchored in God's promises. Daniel's prayer is anchored in God's promise. At the beginning of the prayer, Daniel chapter 9, verse 4, Daniel said, I pray to the Lord my God and make confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. When Daniel prayed, he anchored his prayer on God's promises. Daniel declared that God is a God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep God's commandments. Daniel did not invent this verse, this content by himself. Actually, to give you a little background, Daniel was actually quoting another verse, which was written many generations ago from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 said, Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So despite of the challenges around, Daniel was not in the easy time. Daniel's prayer was anchored in God's unchanging promises. Daniel knew that God is the ultimate promise keeper. So we don't need to rely on ourselves, but cling to his promises and pray boldly. And the Bible is filled with God's promises, as you know, including assurance of his presence, his strength, and guidance, and along with promises of a future, filled with hope, and also for those who trust him. And then as I was preparing this message, I was just curious. I asked Google, okay, how many promises of God are there in the Bible? And guess what came out? I find out, well, this is what Google said, okay, 8,810 promises. Oh, okay, that's quite a lot. I didn't expect that. I don't have time to verify this figure yet, okay? So don't take my word yet. But let's assume it is not 8,000. Let's assume it was only 5% of 8,000. Let's assume it's only 400 promises in the Bible. But still, if there are only 400 promises in the Bible, that means that there are more than one promise per day that you can claim during a year. That's still a lot, right? So that's just very important. God's promises. We pray according to God's promises. And besides that, number two, Daniel's prayer was also anchored in God's character. God's character. When he prayed, Daniel knew the kind of God to whom he was praying. He was not praying to someone he didn't know at all. Let me just highlight two of God's characters that became the anchor of Daniel's prayer. Character number one, God is righteous. God is righteous. Chapter 9, verse 7 of Daniel said, To you, O God, belongs righteousness, but to us, open shame. To us, O God, belongs open shame, and to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. And a few verses later, in the same chapter, verse 14, Daniel repeated again, The Lord has kept ready the calamity and has brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works that he has done, and we have not obeyed his voice. So God is a righteous God. And throughout his prayer, Daniel anchored his focus on God's righteousness. And besides this character, there's another one that Daniel prayed about. Is God is also a merciful God. God is merciful. Verse 9. To our Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Verse 18, for we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your God's great mercy. When Daniel prayed, he anchored his focus on God's characters, on his righteousness, on his mercy, even when life is difficult. Rather than finding the anchor at the fluctuating circumstances, we can find stability, we can find security in the unchanging nature of God. The third one, besides anchoring God's promises and characters, number three, Daniel's prayer is also anchoring in God's works and deeds. And when he prayed, Daniel did not forget what God has done in the past. In verse 15 and 16 of the same chapter, in his prayer, this is what Daniel prayed. And now, O God, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt, that is the Exodus story, with a mighty hand, and to make a name of yourself, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. Verse 16, O Lord, according to all your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy hill. When he prayed, Daniel did not forget what God has done in the past. Daniel did not forget. So church, as we are preparing ourselves for in this series, we are not just talk about prayer, you know, in vacuum. We're also preparing ourselves as we are making the next move, right? Our whole congregation will be moved from Fireside to the sanctuary, which is only a few feet away, but this is a big move for us in less than 6 months. Let's not forget God's work at Koinonia. And to help us remember what God has done among us, let me share with you a few historic photos, some precious photo to help us to understand. First photo, January 2007. It was when Koinonia first met at Richmond Secondary School, Richmond High. This is called multi-purpose room. I don't know, some of us might heard about it. Some of us was there, not in that photo, but at least you may visit that room before. Anyway, and guess what? How many people were there? Well, this is not the whole, people sit scattered, but this is the focus. The attendance was 56, okay. And Pastor Joshua said, that was the first week. And then what happened the second week is that half of them didn't come back because they were just guests. They mean that's uncle and auntie just want to check out how we are doing. So 56 was a good start, but it didn't continue yet. Anyway, it was a humble beginning. Second photo, 10 years later, July 2017. After 10 years, it was the first time Koinonia took a step of faith and we started the English service, English worship. And guess what? The venue, it was the same room, multi-purpose room, Richmond High. And interestingly, guess how many were attending on that morning? And according to the record, I was there, but I didn't count, but according to our record, the attendance was also 56. Probably different 56, but it's more or less, it looks more than 50 people here. Anyway, so that's 10 years after our church was started, English worship was born. Third photo, after COVID lockdown, God opened the door of Fraserville, that is where we are here. And it was April 2022, which was what, almost 3 years ago, is that right? 3 years ago, when English service reopened. And guess how many were there? According to the record, 45, okay. This probably was not that particular one, but it was close, yeah. This is how we were sitting, in case you wondered. Yeah, we arranged the chair a little bit differently. We have a smaller group, so we kind of sit in a circle. Let's not forget what God has done among us. And we are part of this history. We are part of this story called KEC. And as we are preparing our next move, let me give you one more number. What is that? 899. Do you know that? This weekend is actually the 899th week that Koinonia has been worshiping since day one, since that January 2007. We have the record for every week, you know, the attendance. So I go to that Google document and find out, oh, this weekend, 899. So next week will be 900. That's good. As we are preparing for our next move, let's not forget what God has done in big and small way for the past 899 weeks. And besides, learning from how Daniel anchors prayer, we can also learn one more thing about Daniel's prayer. Ultimate focus of prayer, God's glory. As we study Daniel's prayer, we also notice that his ultimate focus is not about his own needs. As he concludes his prayer, Daniel prayed, "Now therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his plea for mercy, and for your own sake, O God, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O Lord, hear, O God, forgive. O Lord, pay attention, act, do not delay for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name." The ultimate focus of Daniel's prayer is not about his own deeds. Daniel did not focus his prayer at himself, but God's glory. So church, let's step up. Let's shift our prayer focus. As we learned for the past 2 weeks and now in the third week, let's move from this grocery list prayer. Let's move away about the boring prayer. As we move forward, when we let the scripture shape how we pray, boring prayer can become bold prayer. Boring prayer can become bold prayer when we let scripture shape how we pray. When we let scripture shape how we pray. So let us really anchor our daily prayer in who God is, in what God has done in the past, and what God has promised for us in the future. And also, let's make God's glory the ultimate focus. So, Daniel chapter 9 is the prayer, is the example. So let's ask God to renew our prayer after this weekend. And let's really pray that God will turn our boring prayer into bold prayer. Let's put it into action. So for the coming week, let me encourage you, let me invite you to start anchor your prayer, not just about your own idea, your own needs, but on God's promise. As you read the Bible, look for God's promises. It's almost everywhere. And that pray about that as well. Let me share with you quickly how God teach me to trust and claim his promise from a particular verse. Actually, this verse was mentioned earlier when we worship already. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." I first learned this verse when I was in university. I still remember after one midterm, I didn't do well. So I walked back from my class to the residence, and God reminded me this verse to focus on him, to trust him about his promises. Many years later, the time was 2014, when my family and I was making a big decision to relocate from Toronto to Vancouver. I might share some story before, but this verse is important. Our timeline was short. We only have half a year to make all the big decision for the family of five to relocate, to find school, to find work, to find places to live. And then at that transition, I have a strong desire. Maybe let's make a new start. So I want to create a new account, email account actually, to signify this new start. And at that moment, God knew my need, God knew my worry as well. And also God knew, you know, what I was worrying about. So interestingly, God reminded me about that verse, Matthew 6:33. And guess what email did I choose? Here you go. Gabriel Chen, 633 at gmail.com. I'm still using it now. You can email me with that. But I think as I look back, that verse was precious, really precious. God told me that it's a big move. Yeah, I know. And I know that you, your family are worried. But remember, God told me how I gave you this verse many years ago. I want this verse becomes your verse, not just like in 10, 20 years ago, but in 2014 as well. God remind me to seek Him first, seek His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And these things will include where you are working, where you will be staying, where your three kids will be studying. All these things will be added to you. 10 years, or actually 11 years has passed. I don't have time to elaborate, but I can testify to you that God is faithful and His promises are real. Boring prayer can become bold prayer when we let Scripture shape how we pray. As we are concluding this message, let me challenge you to put what you have learned tonight into actions. Let your prayer be shaped by God's Word. Learn to pray boldly according to His promises, according to His characters, and for His glory. Church, let's have a moment of quietness and reflection, and then we'll conclude with a prayer. Church, let's stand. Let's stand for prayer. Dear God, we praise You at this moment because we know that You are a faithful God. You are faithful from the beginning. You are still faithful at this moment, and You will be faithful to the end. But we confess that we have been offering too many boring prayers in our life. We are praying just for our own needs sometimes, and we are praying not according to Your will. But Lord, help us. Help us after this evening transform our prayer life. Take away all the boredom and help us to pray boldly. Help us to pray according to Your will. Help us to anchor our prayer on who You are. Help us to anchor our prayer on what You have done. And help us to anchor our prayer on what You have promised us in the future. So Lord, as we are making a big move to the sanctuary, help us to experience transformation in prayer as we let Your word shape the way we pray. Amen.